be doing some back and forth through the Old Testament and New Testament. As we look one more time at the light that came, and the fact that although the people that Jesus came to, and particularly was sent to according to the Gospels, did not accept or receive or believe that he was the light, we will see that in this prophecy as well, not only to the Jews, but also the Gentiles would benefit and would actually see and receive the light. Now, that should prove a couple of things to you before we get too far into this, and I want to make it clear. The Gentiles did not replace the Jews. They were always part of the light coming. So when people say, well, you know, the Jews are no longer part of prophecy and so forth, they're wrong, because this is exactly like they received Jesus. They saw one Messiah, but they did not see the first Messiah that was coming. And he was clearly announced in Isaiah 53. And all throughout the book of Isaiah, very easily identified. But one of the identifying characteristics of the Messiah would be that the Gentiles would recognize that he is light. There was something different. So beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 9, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your love, and thank you for the truth of the Word of God that clearly points the way to salvation through Jesus Christ, by thousands of years earlier announcing that he would be there, and then throughout the Old Testament announcing that he would come and that he would be in the temple, and then in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the announcement, the knowledge that he had come. And Lord, I pray today as we look into the Word of God that we would see the evidences that are clearly given that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and he is the light of the world. And if there's anyone here today who's never accepted you, I pray that today they would see their need for light, because truly without you we are in complete and utter darkness. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Isaiah chapter number 9 is the beginning of the prophecies that would talk about the people that dwell in the land of darkness, in the shadow of death. Now, if you know anything, and I could take you to Romans, but you can certainly look there later, but the people that it was talking about are not the Jews, because the Jews actually had the truth laid out before them. They had the light through the law. So God had given them direction through the law and through the sacrifices to point them to his plan, and also to announce that who the Messiah would be, identified by the different things that God had given them. They had what Paul calls, and what the Bible calls, the oracle, which is the glory of God was present with them. Several times when they would go in and sacrifice, God would receive the sacrifice. So the light had led them out of the land of Egypt. The light had descended on the tabernacle. The light had descended upon the temple. God had given them the light that they needed through his word. They simply desired darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. So they looked around at all the nations and they loved the darkness. They loved the false God worship. They loved all the things that the world offered and said, we want to be like them. And they certainly were. So turn to Isaiah chapter number 11, just over a few pages. And look at verse number 10. And again, if you read the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the prophets, you can't help but see Jesus when you start reading the New Testament. You cannot help it unless you don't have the Holy Spirit of God and you're not saved, and so you don't know. So you think that this is all being made up, when actually this is very simple. Verse number 10 says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." And we learned last week that the last days of the end began when Jesus was born. So that's what the Bible says. So if you put those two together, and then you go to Malachi chapter number 1, which is the very end of the Old Testament. So Malachi chapter number 1, right after Zechariah, right before Matthew. Malachi chapter number 1. This is God speaking to the children of Israel so that they could identify the Messiah. In verse number 11 of Malachi chapter number 1, it says, "For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." So he's speaking to a people who are living now back in the land as they were promised that they would be after the captivity in Babylon, and then the Persians took over, and so they were gone out of Jerusalem for 70 years. They come back into the land. They build the temple. Then later on, they build the walls, and then they build the city. And then the children of Israel are back in the land. And Malachi is prophesying to these people, saying, even though God's done all of these things, God's saying, even though I've done all of these things, you still will not see that I am the light. So in chapter number 4, he tells them, I'm going to send Elijah before. You need to remember Moses. He wants them to know that he is going to take care of the problem. Over 400 years later, then, we are in Matthew. And Matthew, now we see the announcement of the Savior of the world. Mary receives the announcement from Gabriel. Joseph receives the announcement from Gabriel. Zacharias receives the announcement of who John the Baptist is going to be. And we've been through all of this. I'm just kind of taking you to a point where you can see that there's no reason why they shouldn't have known that Jesus is the Messiah. And I say is because he still is. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. He's already come, but did you know he's coming again? So it's okay to wait because he's coming. He's coming this time to draw them back to himself. And the Bible says that the heathen, every knee is going to bow, Philippians said, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we know that the light would draw more than just the Jews, is the point. And the identifier in the three verses that we read is that it would happen the first time that the Messiah would come. So we're going to look at how the Gentiles responded and how they still respond. Do you know that Gentiles, I asked this question and overlooked a camp this summer. There actually was a Jewish girl at camp, and I said, none of you are Jews. Actually, she is a Jew. She was born Jewish. So are there any Jews among us that have received Christ? You're Jewish, you received Christ, okay? One right there. Okay, so anybody else a Jew in the room? You're actually Jewish born. All right. So the Gentiles were one of the indicators, in fact, the greatest indicator that Jesus was the Messiah, because they would seek to him. They would see something different in Messiah than they saw in all of their religion. I could take you to the beginning of every book that Paul writes, and you can go to these places, and it's awesome just reading through this, getting to the end of it. Today will be my last time in the New Testament. We'll finish up the New Testament today and start over again in January. And I love it because in every one of those letters, he talks to them about turning from their gods, little G-O-Ds, turning to the one true God that is creator of the universe. And that the Gentiles did it on a far greater scale than the Jews, because he's actually sent the Gentiles forth so that the Jews would be jealous. That's his intent, so that they would look and say, why are they receiving the blessings of God and we aren't? Now you can say, well, they're God's people. Yes, they are, and they are unusually blessed, uniquely blessed. I mean, they're blessed beyond any other group of people in the world. They're blessed with brains, with money, with knowing how to handle finances. They're gifted beyond anything that is natural in man. Now you can look and say, no, I'm telling you, you know that they're still God's people because he's not forsaken them, just like he said he wouldn't. So they're uniquely gifted in many, many areas. There's more doctors, more lawyers. They're all Jewish. It's amazing what God has done with a little group of people called the Jews. And they've been uniquely persecuted in the world and continue to be uniquely persecuted. Not like any other race on the earth. None. Zero. You go, well, shouldn't they know? That's the point. God gave them every indicator, but the one thing that they lacked was wisdom to see God. And you know, it's interesting going through the book of Ecclesiastes in the Hilltoppers class. It's very interesting that although Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived on the earth, he except for Jesus, because Jesus wrote and created everything, but Solomon knew more than anyone and acted dumber than anyone. It's true. When you see all the stuff that he gave himself over to, God spoke to him twice, and he still worshiped false gods. That is also unique. And so the rejection of the Messiah was prophesied, but nonetheless, God gave them proof that he would be received. So turn to John chapter number 1, and we'll read these verses here, and then we're going to flip back to Matthew chapter number 8. John chapter number 1, these verses, very common verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Note that it says every man. So once again, John, the beloved, hears what the scriptures say, that this light came to light every man that's ever born into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, he's speaking to John the Baptist in verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So he's announced as the one who is the bearer of life, that is the light of all men, every man that cometh into the world. So even John recognized immediately that this gift was not just given to the Jews, it was given to the world. Jesus was given to and for the world. Look back at Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 5. We're going to look at an instance here where there is proof that someone that was not a Jew came and looked for the light. Verse number 5 says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, you might, and as I've read this over the years, until studying this out, you might say, why would Jesus be so rude? Why would he say, I've not found this great faith, no, not in Israel? To prove that the prophecy was coming to pass right before their eyes. The Gentiles are coming to him. See, a centurion is a Roman. He had no right to come to Jesus. He did not believe in the law. But there was something about Jesus that was different. There was something that the Gentiles saw that many of the Jews never saw until after he died. Many never saw. And multitudes followed him. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, speaking of the Jews, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Jesus isn't saying automatically the Jews were going to be cast into outer darkness. What he is saying is they have opportunity to witness and receive the light, but they are choosing to reject the light. And this is very telling. They acted like Paul began ministering to the Gentiles, but it was Jesus that began the ministering to the Gentiles. We'll see several different occasions where Jesus ministers to the Gentiles, even rejecting the ministry to them for a moment, but then saying to all of the Jewish followers, I have never found or seen this faith in all of Israel. Trying to remind them that the world would be affected by the gift of the Messiah, not just the Jews. And you say, why is that important? If you remember with me, perhaps you don't know, but when Jesus came, the Jews were not looking for a Savior from their sin. They were looking for a Savior from the Romans. Even up until they're walking on the road to Emmaus, they say to Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, they say to Jesus, the two disciples say to Jesus, he is the one that we thought would redeem us from this rule and our servitude. And Jesus says to them, oh, you slow hearers, you people who lack faith. And the Bible says he opened up Moses and the Psalms and the prophets and began to tell them why it was that he suffered for their sins before they could be delivered from anything. And they don't get it until he blesses the food and then he disappears. And they go, didn't our hearts burn within us even while he was praying, while he was speaking? Our hearts were just burning. It was not until that moment that they ran and told the disciples, he is risen. He is the light of the world. He truly is the Savior. And, of course, the disciples doubted, but while they were talking, the Bible says that that Jesus appeared in the locked room among them. Now, think about this. They should have known. They walked with him. They heard him. They watched him heal the sick, the maimed, the blind, the halt. They saw with their own eyes things that had never happened before, ever. And yet, now they believe. So even disciples didn't believe until after Jesus was risen from the dead. They didn't see the true light. But here we have a centurion who is not a Jew. He simply believes that there's something different in Jesus. Look at John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. And verse number 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Once again, the Greeks come and they seek Jesus. We would see Jesus. That's a great call for every person to seek the light of the world. But we should also see why this was happening. Jesus said, I will now be glorified, not in front of the Jews, but in front of the whole world. Is this going to happen? You say, well, why is it so important to believe that? Because you and I, if you received Christ not believing that he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that you cannot get to the Father but by him, you're sadly mistaken. Because there is only one person that fulfilled these prophecies. And it is easily seen if you read and just say, well, I mean, that happened. How am I going to refute it? Okay, you're still arguing. Isaiah 42. Go back to Isaiah. You go, I'm not arguing. If you just be done, I'm done too. Just one more proof. Or two more. I should not lie like that. Isaiah 42. Verse number 1 of Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. So these three verses right here tell us that when Messiah would come, the servant, when he would come to do the work, he was not coming to change society. He was not coming to change the culture. He was not coming to change the government. He was going to come silently to do one thing, to bring forth judgment unto truth. That's why Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It was the truth that he came to prove out. Verse number 4, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and would hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. For I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God says, I'm sending myself instead of showing you images to prove to you that I am come, and the people that will recognize it will be the Gentiles. Why? Why the Gentiles? Because the Gentiles all exclusively worshipped graven images. They, in fact, later on in the New Testament, as you go through 1 Corinthians, you see the infighting in the church about whether you should eat meat offered to idols or meat not offered to idols. And Paul says, if it offends your brother, then don't. Because it's more important, the unity of the church is more important than it is for you to satisfy your own soul or what you think is right. But the idea in that was they were false god worshipers. Corinth, Thessalonians, any of the Gentiles that you read about once worship false gods. The Romans were full of false graven images. And let me just say this, still are. Because the Bible tells us, God did not show himself on the mountain whenever he gave the law. You know why? He didn't want you to worship the similitude. He wanted you to obey the law. Because sometimes we replace worship with truth. Well, I am at church. If you've really sought the light and the light shines within you, there's something different about you like there was about Jesus. Look at Isaiah 49 while we're there. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse number 6. "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." So God's plan all along was to give a Messiah that would draw attention to one thing: God. This Messiah would speak only the things God would speak, which is Jesus says over and over and over again, and that the Gentiles would turn from their idols to the light. Turn to Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. Verse number 24. "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. This woman was a Greek. She was Syrophoenician. She came seeking Jesus because she knew that Jesus, well, the Bible pretty much gives us the reason why she sought him, because he could not be hid. Have you ever considered how much we hide Jesus in us? Those of us who are saved, we're trying to keep the light down, and the Bible says he could not be hid. Jesus should not be able to be hid in you. People should be drawn to the light. We looked at that last week. The light should shine out of us so that those walking in darkness still have somewhere to go. Darkness is not greater than light. Have you ever ever thought about this? Think about this. In this day, they had little lamps that have olive oil in them and a little wick that floated here, and they lit that lamp, and that lamp went, this is the light. They're not talking about the bright, like, how many ever 50,000 lumen flashlights that we have now that you can carry around and blind people with. Jesus outshined the light that they would use in their abode. Do you know Jesus is brighter than a 50,000 lumen flashlight? And he should not be hid in you? It should be said, you know what, you're not hiding anything. I can see something different in you. To draw the light. Why? If we are shining the way we're supposed to, then the Gentiles, which most of us are, would be drawn to the light because they were drawn to Jesus in this day. Look at Acts. Even after Jesus' resurrection, Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia and an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb for his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So the Ethiopian eunuch, who had nothing to do with Jesus, read the scriptures, heard Philip preach Jesus from the scriptures, which is Isaiah 53, and believed that Jesus was that person. When they had preached these scriptures earlier, and not all the Jews believed. In fact, a sect began to raise up in that day, in the first couple of chapters, that the rest of the time of all of the church's beginning would be pursued by these Jewish naysayers, who would go and they would find people. Paul was one of them. And they would take them out and they would persecute them and they would kill them and they would starve them out and they would put them away from the synagogues, punishing them for being believers in the light. The Gentiles went right to it. In fact, we don't have to go there. you can know this, that the Jews reject Jesus as Messiah for only one reason. Because he didn't come and destroy the planet like they wanted. They had a plan. They wanted Rome annihilated. They wanted the kingdom reestablished. They still do. That's what they're looking for. When he comes to do it, they've not read that they are part of that cleansing of the world during the tribulation. See, God, as he has done all throughout, all the time, from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, has given every person an out from the judgment that's coming. The first thing you have to do is admit that you naturally were born into and walk in darkness. You have no way. You don't see the light. Your life is consumed with darkness. Well, that takes us humility. Exactly. You have to admit that you are so far in darkness that there's no way that you can get to heaven. There's no way that you have the ability to move toward God, because the wages of sin is death. And what you deserve is death. Well, you might even be sitting here saying, no, I believe that. I believe that. I've already accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's great. Let's just keep going then. You also have to understand that without Christ, there is no hope. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone's a sinner for all have sinned, but God did something about it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the last message I get to preach in 2023. It could be the last message you ever hear. Why? Because it's 2023? No, because your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, how fair would God be to let me die without hearing? That's why he sent Jesus. And Christian, that's why he has left us here, to shine that light. Being more concerned about people's souls than we are about the carpet in the building. Being more concerned about people's souls than our little petty fightings back and forth. Why? We are the light of the world. That's what the Bible says. What are we trying to show people? That the darkness is escapable. You can come out of darkness. When you accept Jesus Christ, he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and puts you into the kingdom of his dear Son. This then is the message that we have heard of him, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's not just the light of the world, but he's the only light in the world. Without him, we are hopeless. See, the Jews refused to believe that. But the Gentiles were supposed to not only believe it, but carry the light. That's why there is church today. So that we would be a light. That's why born-again believers were left in the world, not snatched right out whenever we got saved, to be a light in the world. And you know what? That light is to shine on everyone, no matter what we think of them. No matter how we feel about their sin, everybody should see the light. Everybody? Everybody. Why? We're not the judges. We are simply the light. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the message of the escape from judgment. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christian, if you're tired of hearing it, maybe you need to share it. And if you haven't shared it, you got a few hours left in 2023 to shine the light. It's when God sent his son into the world, it wasn't just for a select group of people. I hope you caught. It's for everybody. If it wasn't for the Jews, it's not solely for us who only go to church. It's for everybody. Lord willing, we might make it to 2024. Jesus could come back. If you look back at 2023, did you shine the light? Because you know what matters in 2023? Did you shine the light? Now, I put a lot of money into my 401k, and I'm a multi-billionaire now. When you die, none of that goes with you. Jesus didn't come to change society. He didn't come to change the culture. He came to change people's destiny. Because without him, you are bound, dying, and going to a devil's hell that wasn't even created for you. But because you chose not to receive the light, you'll be cast into outer darkness. I'd plead with you this morning, this is a chance. You don't know if you're going to get another one. Will you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today? If you are saved, I really encourage I've done it myself and continue to do it, but I really encourage you, look back at 2023 and ask yourself how many times you shined the light that was given to you, because when Jesus moved in, you became the light of the world. Does your life, your mouth, your action draw attention to Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here this morning, you've